on the subject of the Christian life, just covering different areas, different subjects concerning the Christian life. I want this morning to cover the area of rewards. We've done some preaching on that through Treasures, the Treasure series that we preached, but I want to cover some things concerning rewards. I guess I hesitate a little bit. I don't want any of us to walk around saying, you know, well, we're doing this, we're doing that for God for rewards. But it is a truth of God's word that God provides rewards. That's a truth of His word, and I think He wants us to know what He's talking about. He wants us to understand what it's going to be like one of these days when we see Him, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, which is a place where those things are going to be taken care of. And I just think it's important for the Christian life. I personally think it'll help us to want to have a desire more so to serve the Lord. We can all say, well, we just ought to serve the Lord, because and we should. But He has some rewards that goes along with it, and He wants us to know about it and help to encourage us to just be faithful servant of the Lord. Over in Colossians, the third chapter of Colossians, let me read to you verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Well, you know, that's quite a statement, those last words that I read, there's no respect of persons. That ought to grip our hearts. God doesn't look down at any of us and say, you know, well, I'm going to do this for you because who you are. He handles everything the same way, rewards accordingly to His word, no matter who we are. Doesn't make any difference. He's no respected person. He don't look down and respect people, you see, and to the respect that He's going to give them certain rewards. So He tells us in verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I think we need to just make one statement, first of all, and I think everybody understands this, but it's thought that ought to be brought out. These rewards are not for the unsaved. Now that's, I know you say, well, that's pretty elementary, but you must understand, the unsaved cannot earn rewards. It's impossibility. They're not even going to go to heaven. So they cannot earn them. So we've got to understand that the rewards that God talks about in His word are earned by God's people, the saved. Again, you probably understand that, but we need to, because it's God's people whom He is saying that He's going to come and give rewards to us. I want to go over to Revelation, and in fact, I want some of you to help me with scriptures. Revelation 22nd chapter 12th verse, if you'll read it, you just tell me, lift up your hand, please. Thank you, Brother Dave. Revelation 22:12, and then 2 Corinthians 5:10. Thank you, Brother Chuck. Daniel 12:3. Sister Penny, thank you. Let me see here. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Brother Tommy, get you back. Brother Jack, you get Psalms 19:11. Psalms 19:11. Matthew 6:4. Matthew 6:4. Glenda said she'd do that. And Matthew, I'm going to let her have that one too, Matthew 6:6 in a moment. And then Lori, Matthew 6:18. And we'll, let me see if we want to stop there. And then I need Matthew 5:10-12. Brother Brewer, thank you. We'll stop there for time being and possibly get some more in a few moments. But we want to look at some scripture, and we're going to look at Revelations 22:12 first of all. And if someone would read that, please, I'd appreciate it.
And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be.
You notice there that Jesus said he's coming quickly, and his reward is going to be with him, and he's going to be the one that presents it to us. To me, that's enough to really grip our hearts. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he comes, will bring his rewards with him, and he will do the presentation. Now, I mean, to me, that's enough to say, you know what? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to have him be able to present us with something? I mean, because of who he is, he's our Savior, he's our God. And he's going to be doing that. Now, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 10th verse, whoever has that. Yes, John.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
Okay, once again, this is speaking of the time of the judgment seat of Christ. And folks, there's no doubt whatsoever, according to that verse of Scripture, that God says everyone shall appear before him. Every one of us. That's another awesome thought. When you think about it, one of these days, we are going to stand before Jesus Christ. Each one individually. See, I don't think we're going to stand as a group. I don't think we're going to stand as a family. We're going to stand individually before Jesus Christ himself. Amen? What an awesome thing. And he says in that verse of Scripture that we're to receive that which we've done in the body. In other words, while we're here on this earth, the things that we have done. He says whether good or bad, and I believe it talks about there, whether it's good, acceptable to the Lord or not acceptable to the Lord. There are certain things that are acceptable to him. There's other things that are not acceptable to him. And he's going to judge between the two, and we're going to stand before him and give an account. Now, that is designed to do something. That's designed to keep us walking with God, realizing that that day of the judgment seat of Christ could come at any moment. I mean, you believe that, don't you? I mean, you believe Christ could come. You believe he could come. I believe it. You do too. Well, that could come, and it's too late then to do anything. It's too late. It's all too late for all of us when he comes. Amen? It's over with. It's done. So he's trying to tell us, don't you want to remember that we're going to receive the reward according to as we've done in our body? And it's up to each one of us to establish that and to do what needs to be done against the day that we meet him, okay? Them are just good truths for each and every one of us. He doesn't expect the same, and I'm talking about the same and maybe amount of work or the same work of every individual, but he does expect faithfulness and to do it heartily as unto the Lord. Every one of us, whatever we do, we're to do it heartily unto the Lord. Now, you agree with that, I think. That's what God is saying to us. And so that day is coming. The judgment seat of Christ is for the saved. It's not for the unsaved. No, that's the white throne judgment for the unsaved. It's for the saved people. And we need to, I preached a message. I know Brother Alley mentions to me once in a while, keep your eye on the judgment seat. Keep your eye on the judgment. Because one day we'll stand there. Every single one of us will stand before God. Amen. And that'll keep us going. That'll keep us encouraged about doing right, living for God, and doing some things that we ought to be doing. Here's some things we ought to be doing. In Daniel, the 12th chapter, the 3rd verse, who has that?
Sister, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
He's talking about that winning of souls. If you win souls, the Bible says you're wise. The Bible says there, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of a firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Once again, I don't have all the depth of understanding about how it's going to be up in heaven. But God in his word tells us one of the great benefits, one of the great rewards for a Christian is going to be able to display the great glory of God to a greater degree than others. I don't understand all that, but he even used the illustration of the stars. You go out of a night and you look up in the heavens and you see the stars, and some of them are bright, some of them are more dim. And I like I said, I don't understand all of the implications of it, exactly how that's going to display it in eternity. But God says it's, you're going to be able to display the glory of God more by the winning of souls to Christ. And folks, listen, soul winning is important. Now, it's just important. You can't get around that. Say whatever you want. Say it isn't for me. Yes, it is. For you, it's for every single person that's a born-again Christian. And it's going to make a difference in eternity. And I believe soul winning is going to be the main thing here that's going to determine the ability for us to shine forth the glory of God. It's what he's indicating here to us. And all I can say, all the little details and all that, that's going to, how it's going to be done, I'm certainly not sure. But I do know in his word he says that's the way it's going to be. Amen. Also, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 17th verse, please. Notice he talked about the light afflictions, he says, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He keeps telling us throughout the Word of God, keep your eye on the other side. You know, the light affliction, he calls them light afflictions. We probably, if we was asked about them, probably wouldn't refer to them as light afflictions, but God does in his Word. He says those light afflictions that you and I suffer here for a little while, he said, it ain't going to mean much. He said, and he said, if you just endure those, maybe I shouldn't use the word endure, but suffer those. Maybe I'll use that. Suffer those light afflictions. He says, there's glory on the other side. There's blessings and reward on the other side. We are living in an age of me. It's all about me. It's all about what happens to me. And folks, we need to get off of that. We need to get off of that, and we need to realize the work of God is more important than anything else there is. And these little light afflictions that come our way are really basically pretty light. Amen? I have never found a time that any affliction I've ever had, that God didn't give me the grace to see it through, to go through it with me, and sometimes remove them. And so, you know, it's a light affliction. And boy, we get all caught up with all of these things. But God says they're just for a moment. I mean, when you look at that in eternity, these light afflictions don't last very long. You see, you think about eternity is going to be forever. These are light afflictions for just a moment of time. Amen. And so the Lord says that worketh for us a more far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, we're looking to the other side, what we've got to look forward to over there. You see, it's much more important than these light afflictions that we have here. Let's also look at Psalms 19:11. In Psalms 19, of course, you realize that there he's talking about the commandments of God. And he's talking about the keeping of the commandments of God. And what he's telling us is that there's a reward for the keeping of the commandments of God. When people care enough about the keeping of God's word, they know God's word, they keep God's word, God says there's a reward for that. Amen. There's a reward over there, folks, when people want to stand on the word of God and want to keep the word of God. There's a reward for doing that. And you hear your preacher preach it. I preach at you and I preach to myself. We need to just stick with the Bible, stick with the Word of God, follow the Word of God, you see, because there's a reward for that, you see. And I would say the opposite certainly is true too. You know, there's a lack of reward for not keeping of the word of God, you see. All right, and now also in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 4th verse of Matthew.
And thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father receiveth in secret himself. Shall that glorify thee?
You know, God talks about our alms. These are, in some places in the Bible, it's called alms deeds. It's a lot of times it's exercising a gift or a blessing toward the poor. Many times the alms is talked about. Do you notice God stresses the fact it ought to be done in secret? And if you will notice there, he says, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. He said the alms ought to be in secret. And I don't, you know, folks, he's not talking about tithes and offerings there. He's talking about alms. He's talking about the giving to the poor. He's talking about helping folk. That's what he's talking about. And he said it ought to be done in secret. Now, that is not always possible. There's sometimes certain people have to know things, or they do know things. But basically, we don't go out bragging about them. We just do it. And God says there's a reward for that. Amen? I mean, folks, listen, I'm for you. I want you to have those rewards. I really do. I want you to have the rewards that God has. And there's ways in the Bible he's telling us, and I'm telling you some of them today, the way you can have them. Okay? So don't be afraid to secretly be a blessing to someone whom God has instructed you to be a blessing to. And that's what I've always believed. I believe that God helps us and encourages our heart and directs our life and tells us and brings people in front of us so that we'll know who to give to and what to do in a situation. God does that all the time, I believe. And he's waiting for us just to mind him and do what he says to do. Amen. And stress the fact it could be done in secret. Also in Matthew 6:6, I think I asked the same person to read that, Glenda. Once again, it talks about God rewarding openly to those who pray in secret. Folks, if I can encourage you to do anything, have a secret place of prayer. Have a time when you get alone with God. Just get alone with him and talk to him. You don't have to talk to other people about it. Just get alone and talk to him. Bare your heart to him. Just talk to him. Now, you say, Brother Ross, anything wrong with praying with other people? Of course there isn't. That's a wonderful thing. It's good to pray. It's good to pray in public. But the secret prayer of a person determines his spiritual life. I believe that with all my heart. And no one needs to know about it except God. And he says, I'll reward you openly. Amen. So again, I just want you to understand. So I'm just saying this for your benefit. Spend time with God. Pray to God. Amen. Loves you dearly. And he's saying, do that in secret. Tell him your secrets in secret. Amen. And we've all got certain things that we're concerned about, maybe burdened with. Tell him about it. He listens. He hears. He cares. Okay? All right. And in Matthew 6:18. Talking about here the same basic principle that he talked about in prayer, but he's talking about fasting, and it's a good thing to do. You can do it longer than that, but it's a good thing to do. Just take a day and fast. Now, if you're doing it just to lose weight, forget it. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about as you fast to get alone with God and spend extra time with him. The whole purpose of fasting is not just to do without food. It's to spend that time dedicated to the Lord, knowing that you're doing without those physical things you need, and you're taking that time and you're dedicating that day to the Lord, or whatever it may be. It may be a meal, maybe whatever it may be, maybe two meals, I don't know, maybe 2 days, I don't know. I'm just saying to you, when you fast, he says do that in secret. Don't go around bragging about it. Don't go around telling anybody, say, hey, I'm fasting today. I want everybody to know. No, God says, no, just keep it secret. And he'll reward you openly. Amen? Good thing. See, these are things that you can receive the rewards of God. He said, I'll reward thee openly. Now, folks, God means what he said, doesn't he? Will he? Oh, sure he will. He'll do it because he said he would. So these are things that you can do. You see, and get alone with the Lord and spend some time with him, that God's going to openly reward you, you see. He's promised to do that. All right, and also, did I give someone Matthew 10:41? Can't remember if I did or not. Well, let's just turn over to Matthew 10:41. Matthew 10:41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. You know, that's a pretty wonderful verse of scripture, I believe. You say, Brother Ross, how can I get the, if I'm not called to be a prophet, how can I get the reward of a prophet? Treat a prophet right. Treat a prophet right. That's what God said in His Word. So you receive the reward of a prophet. He said, how about a righteous man? Righteous man. He said, how do you want the reward of a righteous man? Treat a righteous man right. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? You see, you know, you say, I can't get certain rewards. Oh, yeah, you can. Yes, you can. You can get them because you can receive that kind of a person and treat them with kindness and help them and be a blessing to them. And God says, I'll give you that kind of reward. It's wonderful. Amen. So you won't be left out. No one's going to be left out of this. It's all up to us. What do we want? What do we desire? You see. Let me see here if I can find that again. 10:41. Look at verse number 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. I thought about that a lot of times. You know, God's interested in just a cup of cold water. God is interested in when we would just give someone a cup of cold water. Just imagine that. That's not very much. A cup of cold water. Just given to somebody. That's amazing to me, you see. And God takes note of that. Boy, our God is great. Takes note of the very smallest of things. Amen. And is concerned about them and marks them down. I don't know. He don't have to mark them down, I guess. But he may mark them down up there somewhere. But all I know is he's concerned about it. He cares about it. Give them a cup of cold, just a cup of water. In the name of the Lord, and God takes note of it. Now, folks, anybody can do that. Amen? Anybody can do that. Amen? All right. Let's now go, and I don't remember how far we went, but Matthew, the 5th chapter, 10th and 11th verses, or 10th, 11th, 12th verses.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
It's amazing, isn't it? God says if you'll just take persecution, if you're hated, you're shunned, you're looked down upon for His name's sake, for His name's sake. Now, we don't go out here and get people to treat us bad because we are bad. It says His name's sake. Amen. His name's sake. He said there's reward in heaven. How you take persecution, how you take all these problems and troubles that people throw your way that is for the name of Christ. Amen. Sure. See, God's interested in how we react to all of those things. And He says the reward's in heaven. Did you ever think about how many we've covered already? Did you ever think about there's that many things and ways to win rewards? That God is looking at all of these things and is mindful of them in our life. You see? It's important. All right, let's see. Let me give you some more. 1 Corinthians 3:8. Somebody just lift your hand, please. 1 Corinthians 3:8. Brother Tommy, you do that. 1 Corinthians 3:11 and 15. We'll give that one to you also, Tommy. Be right there close. And then 1 Corinthians 9:16 and 17. 9:16-17. Sister Connie, thank you. And also, let me see here. Matthew 5:5. Brother Jack. Oh, Tim didn't see you there. Let's see. And then let me see. Luke 19:17. Tim, do that? Okay, well, let's see how far we get there. All right, in 1 Corinthians 3:8, did I give somebody that? Brother Tommy, I think. Okay. That's all right. 1 Corinthians 3:8. You're familiar with that portion of Scripture where it talks about the watering, the planting of the Word of God, but it's God that gives the increase. And God says that we're to go out here and labor, we're to water, we're to plant, we're to water. And every man, some men plant, some men water, and sometimes you water and don't plant, and other people do. Sometimes you plant, and other people come along and water it. God says each man will receive a reward for his own labor. Okay? God keeps account of all of that, the planting and the watering. Haven't you in your life seen someone saved and know without a shadow of doubt, in fact, maybe even been told by this individual that someone else had witnessed to them, and maybe they've been witnessed to maybe 100 times or a few times, and well, that's planting and watering. And we just get in on it. But God keeps account of it. It's amazing to me. God keeps account of the watering and the planting. It's Him that gives the increase. We all know that. We got any sense to us at all? We know it's God that increases everything. We don't do it. He does. We just plant, we water. And He says there's rewards for that. Now, folks, I'm just saying this to you. Do planting. Do watering. Yeah, do it. You know what? You're not getting any younger. Amen. You got to get some of this stuff stored up. You see, you got to go back. You got to remember, you know, I'm going to store this up. I'm going to do some planting. I'm going to do some watering. You see, God's keeping count of it. Amen. Just, you know, that's a marvelous thing. You see, it's ways that we can earn those rewards, you see, when one of these days when the Lord comes. Now, in 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15. Okay, and let me see there. If any man work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved as by fire. What the Word of God is telling us here, it's the work done in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. All of these fleshly things, which some of the fleshly things certainly have to be done in our life, but it's the things done in the power of the Holy Spirit of God that's going to take the test one of these days of the judgment seat of Christ. The fire will burn up that which doesn't mean a thing, doesn't stand for nothing, but it'll stand the test of those things that's done for Christ in His power for His purpose. Just saying to you, watch what you do, how you do it for the glory of God. Much of our lives are dedicated to simply this world and its system. It just is. You mark it down. But God is interested in what we do for the glory of God. And it's going to stand the test, not this other stuff. This other stuff will burn up. It'll burn. See? So again, isn't that a good way to win the rewards? Isn't that a good way to be prepared to meet the Lord, you see? Because the judgment seat of Christ, I've always believed this, and I believe it too, going back to Revelation, you'd find His eyes are as fire. I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, all He's going to do is just look at our works. And that which won't stand the test will burn. I just believe that. I believe it's His eyes that's going to do it. All He's going to do is just look. And that which stands the test will remain. Amen. Day's coming. For all of us. Amen. All right. Also in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 16th and 17th verse.
For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe
You know, that's there again, that's an awesome verse of scripture. Paul was talking about preaching the gospel, but did he do it willingly? You know, this comes down to, are we doing it just because we just, you know, feel like we have to or really don't want to or to impress somebody else? Paul said it's important that we do preach the gospel, give out the word of God, if we do it willingly. He talked about there a dispensation. He said a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. In other words, it's the stewardship, the dispensation. The word dispensation there speaks of stewardship. In other words, there's a stewardship given unto us with the gospel. And are we going to take that and be good stewards of the gospel? Are we going to get it out? See, we have a stewardship of the gospel. Every single one of us. It's given unto us. Paul said we ought to do that willingly. You see, we ought not to be something we fight against and just do it because we feel like we have to. No, we ought to do it willingly. We ought to be excited about getting the gospel out. You see, God says because of that, there's rewards. Amen? More rewards. All right, Matthew 5:5. Once again, this shows forth the inheritance of the earth. He's talking about being meek. He's talking there about a meekness about us. You see, meekness is strength under control. And Moses, I don't know what it does here or not, Moses amazes me. I can read the stories of Moses, and he amazes me. It's just something beyond almost comprehension, the way Moses lived and what he did and how he led those Israelites and how he constantly fell down before God and begged God for them when they was just being something terrible. And yet you find Moses, oh, that wonderful, wonderful spirit that he had, you know, and it was a tremendous thing. Well, he was the meekest man, but I want to tell you what, he was not weak. He would have never made it through the wilderness if he was weak. He was a strong man, amen, but he was a meek man. So, again, Bible says there's the rewards for that, see. All right, and then let's turn over. I've got about time one more. I don't think I give this one, but let's turn over to the book of Luke, 19th chapter. Verse number 17. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. I just want you to know that God is going to give out reward for faithfulness. Taking the things that God has given you and using them. Let me just give you some illustrations. Did a doctor have a lot of ability to doctor? But did he ever use it for the Lord's purpose? Did a school teacher ever use that ability that God gave that individual, whether it be a man or woman, for the purpose God intended to give it to him for? And that was for his service? You can take just about anything. You can take a carpenter. Did a carpenter ever, although that's his trade, did he ever use it for God's purpose, God's advancement, the work of God's advancement? You see, you take the things that God gives us abilities to do, and you commit them unto the Lord and use them for that purpose. You understand? See, that's what we've got to look at and say, have we ever taken the abilities that God gives us and just used them for the Lord? That's what's going to be rewarded. Amen? Amen? Sure. There's people hiding their talents. People won't use their talents. God's given them to them. They're God-given talents. God given to them. They won't use them for him. Just won't do it. They refuse. They'll use it for the world and the benefit of their livelihood, but they will not use them for God's benefit. It's wrong. It's just absolutely wrong. God didn't give them to you use them for this world system. He didn't give them to you for that. And you may use them in your livelihood. Amen? Sure. But it's important we understand whatever God has given you, whatever talent it is, he's given it to you to use for God. Amen. Wayne Allheiser went down to see his mother over the weekend. She had just got out of the hospital, or I think been in there for a while. I stopped by there to see him, and I'll be going back this week. He was gone, and he should be back maybe today, maybe tomorrow. But Wayne is still not doing good, so we need to pray for him. And Mary mentioned Bill a while ago. We want to pray for Bill Chesser and Dallas and Maxine Moore. We want to pray for them. Dallas is having some health problems. We want to pray for them, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, again, I thank you once again for your grace, your mercy, and your kindness, your love for us. We need you. We need your help. And Father, these dear folk that's just been mentioned, we pray for Brother Wayne. Ask you, God, to help him heal him according to your perfect will. Pray for Brother Bill Chesser. Lord, we just thank you for him. Bless him and Mary in a special way. And Father, for Dallas and Maxine, you help them today and meet the need there in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.